This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that sometimes goes into the hospital, gets sick, has job changes. We call this the podcast of excuses. Hi, everyone. It's Turnbuckle Trash, where we talk about professional wrestling. I'm Dave Dedden. We're joined this morning by Christopher Evans, and also, hopefully, on this podcast, we'll be able to have Zane. But Zane's new business is going so well, where he's doing the heating and air conditioning. He is just busy right now. So we'll excuse him if he's not going to be on this podcast. But dearest James Christopher Evans, and speaking of jobs, you have just changed to a new job yourself. And how's that going, man?
The job's going really well. Went back into corrections again. Decided to go back into something I know how to do and that I like to do. But I've been missing being on Turnbuckle Trash, so let's get started and talk about some wrestling, because we've got a lot to speak about.
Yeah, well, both of us have had some health issues over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
But hey, we wanted to thank Tim for joining us on the last podcast. Tim Young, if you missed that one, man, it was a good one. He is a very funny man, but also very passionate about professional wrestling. Check that out, Tim Young on Turnbuckle Trash. But Chris, let's get into what's going on now in professional wrestling. There's a lot of really big news coming out of the pro wrestling camps, not just the WWE, not just the people from AEW, but I think the biggest news that people are really into right now is the news that Ric Flair is coming back for at least one more match.
Woo! I don't understand why he's coming back for one more match. Oh, yeah. We've seen the videos of his training. We've seen that. We've also heard that Ricky Steamboat was going to come back for the match, maybe a tag match, and now he's dropped out.
Uh-huh.
I can understand why, because Ricky Steamboat, his health was not very well. So is this going to be the final curtain call? What can it be? I mean, is it going to be a walker on a pole match? What's it going to be? So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to wind up being a tag match of some sort. Looks like they're going to be doing this on July the 31st. And like you said, the speculation was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was going to be a part of it. And it is going to be in Nashville, and it will stream live on Fight TV. But right now it's still up in the air whether it's going to be a singles tag match or whatever, but the Nature Boy will be trying to style a profile if they can work this all out over the next couple of weeks and get things going. But, you know, that training with Jay Lethal, it didn't look too bad. And put the thumb in Lethal's eye and took a couple little bumps there. The age factor is there. And then, you know, there was a couple of times that Rick has been on death's door as of late. And is this something that you are interested in, to see the Nature Boy one last time?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I've never really been a Nature Boy Ric Flair fan, but I mean, let's face it, he is one of the greatest of all time. As a performer, he's been great in the ring, he's great on the mic, but your time has passed. But if you want your last hurrah, and like he said, he will die in that ring before he decides he wants to retire.
Right.
Guess what, Rick? That could happen.
That could happen. Yeah. It has been known to happen. Ric Flair, by the way, is 73 years old. And, you know, you've got some wrestlers out there that are, you know, still in the ring. Bill Dundee, superstar Bill Dundee. Jerry the King Lawler is still out there performing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the one thing that we, as fans, you know, we don't want them to get hurt. And
no,
as I age, I mean, and as you age, and I understand you have a birthday coming up this Saturday, huh?
Got one coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow is the day that I turned 46 and I gotta get a walker.
Yeah.
It's finally happened.
Yeah, on the May the 20th, and then 10 days later is my birthday, and I hit the big 6'5", you know. But you know, 73, it's getting on up there, because right now I'm having trouble walking around because of injuries and things like that. But Ric Flair, I think, is professional enough to know his limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as they map out the match, they're not going to be trying anything extremely dangerous. I wonder if Ric will even attempt to do that flip that he's so famous for, you know, and they get him whipped into the turnbuckle and then he does that flip over. Is he going to do that? I don't know. Yeah. But I think
Jay Lethal would probably be his, if he's been training with Jay Lethal, why not just go ahead and just put it on for AEW and or maybe he's going, no, he is supposed to be going to the NWA.
Yeah.
That's where it's supposed to happen, is the NWA.
Yeah. And it would be a good match if Jay Lethal was there. You know, he's still with AEW ROH, feuding mm-hmm. now with Samoa Joe. But you know what I find so interesting about Flair and Lethal is that great spot years ago on Impact, when the TNA Impact, when Ric Flair was there, and Jay Lethal, who's a very talented mimic, was doing a great imitation of Ric Flair, and Flair's, and they were they were doing Ric Flair, Jay Lethal, but Jay Lethal was doing Ric Flair. Hilarious stuff, and if I can find some of it, I'll insert a little bit of that audio here.
Yeah, that punk right there say anything about the Four Horsemen? The greatest group of men to ever grace God's green earth. I didn't hear that. Because as far as I'm concerned, it looks like the horsemen were here. They took a dump in the ring and they left that.
Wow.
I had the privilege to be on the road up and down. Late nights, parties, kissing the girls, and making them cry. With the horsemen, you guys, as far as I'm concerned, are no horsemen. That is disrespectful to me and this wrestling business. Mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest of them all? Why ain't you, Nature Boy? Not that piss-head Jay Lethal.
He is driving Flair nuts.
Right there is the greatest thing you've ever seen. You can't be me. You can't do me. And I'm cutting you off right now.
You're cutting me off.
Yeah.
You don't cut me off.
Woo!
Hey, don't you start that with me.
Woo! Woo!
Don't you be upset.
Limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun that could kiss any woman right here, even that fat one, and make her cry.
Big man, don't get me wrong. Don't you be upset because they tore old Space Mountain down. Don't be upset.
You know, 73... and physicality, and he's had some really bad heart issues. He almost died a couple of years ago with a heart problem. And
oh yeah,
but he is the Nature Boy, and who are we to say that he can't if the doctors clear him? That's all I got
to
say.
Well, it's his life, and he can do what he wants to. He's over 21 years old. He can do whatever he wants to do. But the safety factors and everything, I mean, you know what he's really famous for. He's famous for that flip over the top of the turnbuckle, and he's famous for getting color. So yeah. Who knows? what's going to happen. I wish Ric Flair the best, but I hope that this is the last hurrah and he just rides off into the sunset. I mean, he doesn't need the money that I know of. I mean, he's got a heck of a podcast going on. He's always doing some kind of signings. So, I mean, one last hurrah. Okay, go ahead. But who's your opponent going to be? It can't be Jim Duggan. It can't be Steamboat. So who?
I bet it's going to be. I bet it's going to be Jay Lethal. Don't it work out some be Jay Lethal or somebody he trusts a lot, because you got to. You know, we've talked about this on the podcast. In professional wrestling, you got to trust your opponent. You're the person you're performing with. You got to trust them. And you know who better than somebody you're training with all the time. You know, but if you got somebody else that's out there that is a pro, you know, maybe even. You know, somebody from the NWA that is just, you know, a professional wrestler and knows how to perform and knows how to protect his partner. I'm really torn on this because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. And he's 73 years old. And I guess that's age discrimination on my part. But I also know that when you are a performer and, you know, I'm. You know, I retired as a performer, not in the ring, but on the radio. I was in the radio for 45 years, and I miss it. You know, I can see where Rick could miss that adrenaline from being out there in front of a crowd. It is something that if you've never experienced being able to go out in front of thousands of people and hear that cheer. And you know, I've done it on a very limited basis, but hearing people react to what you're doing is really, you know, it's almost like a drug. Your adrenaline really gets pumping at that. And I imagine Rick misses that just a little bit.
He does. I mean, he's always been a professional inside the ring, but not really outside the ring.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, he's got a checkered past. But everybody loves Ric Flair. They've always loved him from the NWA to TNA to Ring of Honor to WWE. But he's never made his presence known in AEW, which I think AEW is just, you know, they don't want him there, which I don't blame him. Uh-huh. I mean, but who knows? And let's wish Ric the best, and I hope that he is. Whoever the match is that he has, I hope they tear the walls down that night.
Yeah, and you know, there'll be a lot of the, you know, the slaps on the chest and stuff, or so the crowd can woo along.
Oh yeah.
And that's what people want. You know, they want a chance to cheer and July 31st, I'm interested to see how this is going to play. So good luck to Rick and whoever your opponent will be. But you mentioned a name in there, Chris, that I wanted to also touch on Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and his cancer has returned, and we wish him the best, because what a performer Hacksaw was in the ring. I loved Hacksaw. So.
Yeah, his cancer has returned, and he's going to go back to doing this treatment again. Let's just keep him in our prayers, because this is nothing to play with. And he looks in good shape, but you never know. Father Time is undefeated. But this is something that we know he could fight through. He can do it.
Yeah, he's undergone a lot of procedures already. And he added in his little news story that he put out, they did say the doctors are very optimistic that they caught it early enough. So our thoughts and prayers to the Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. I mean, the guy was such a great heel. I remember seeing Hacksaw when he first really started his career. And once again, one of those wrestlers earlier in their career that went through Memphis, Tennessee. And I remember watching him coming out, and he would have a football helmet on and the pads, and he'd come to the ring, take off the pads and the helmet. And his big move at the time was the spear. But as he developed his character, got into the All-American character, carrying the flag and going, hi-oh, with that thumb up there, classic. And then some wrestling history. Hacksaw was involved in one of those incidences where kayfabe kind of started dying, because he was in a feud with the Iron Sheik. And I can't remember exactly where they were, but they were traveling together when they were supposed to be feuding in the ring. They were traveling together, got pulled over by police officers, and there was a little bit of wacky tobacco that was found there, and they both got busted, and it made huge news. But what a great performer Jim Duggan was.
Yeah, he was he was always a great performer in the WWF/WWE. I mean, I wish him the best, and I hope everything works out. I mean, some of these older wrestlers like Abdullah the Butcher is trying. He needs money big time. He's right. Running out. I guess his rib shack, he ate that to the ground in Atlanta. But, I mean, look at all these older wrestlers now. You've got Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's not in good health. You've got all these guys. And everybody wants to know, you know, I want to see the old wrestlers again. Well, you better while you can. Because some of them are not going to be around much longer.
Oh, yeah. And that's life, man. That's life.
That's life. It's just life. But it's amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing that you have these new wrestlers, but the kids are like, well, Dad told me about this one, or Mom told me about this one, and they're not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see it. Well, the only way you're going to see it is by, you know, video, but. You know what? I wish everybody the best. I wish Flair the best and Duggan. I'm just hoping and praying that whatever these two go through, it makes them have their one, you know, their shining star one more time. Yeah. With Duggan, it's going to be a long battle for him, and hopefully his health holds up.
Yeah, and Abdullah Abdullah the Butcher. So, yeah, we wish them the best, and you know it. It just reminded me when you were talking there, and I don't know why this came up in my head, but the Dark Side of the Ring, that series is getting ready for another season. But I wanted to go back because I actually laughed out loud on AEW a couple of weeks ago when they're doing this feud now between Wardlow and MJF, and they had... It was so funny. I put it on our Facebook page. If you didn't see it, you can check out the video there. But they had this segment where it looked like a commercial for Dark Side of the Ring. I mean, they had the logo. They had Chris Jericho doing the voiceover. And it was all about MJF. And Jericho goes, why am I doing a voiceover for this jerk? You know? Then the rest of it was so clever and so well done. And, you know, we like to complain about professional wrestling a lot, but when you get segments like that, that reminds you of why professional wrestling is so good, especially when it doesn't take itself too seriously.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Did you get a chance to see any of Monday Night Raw from this week?
I've heard that there was a controversy for the women's tag team titles.
Yeah. But before we start talking about that, I wanted to talk about a match that happened on Monday Night Raw. And this would have been May the 16th, if you check it out. It was a match that was supposed to be between Theory and Mustafa Ali, and it was going to be for the USA title. So Theory comes out, and he said, yeah, we're going to do this match, blah, 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 blah. And he says, we've got to have a great referee. We got to have the best referee. And comes out with The Miz in his referee outfit in high water pants, you know, which he looked like a doofus. I mean, you know, sometimes Dang. The Miz can look really like, hello, I'm the Miz, and I'm awesome. And that's what he was looking. So at that point, then Theory decides that, no, I'm not going to wrestle. We need to have another wrestler come in. And it was this new wrestler named Veer. And he is a monstrous man. And I think he is of Pakistani or Indian descent. I'm not exactly sure. And don't get upset with me if I don't know where he's from. But I think he's going to be a star in the future. And they had a very physical match with Mustafa Ali. And Veer won with that hold he does. And then Austin Theory gets up in the ring and does his little gimmick right now where he takes that selfie. Okay.
Oh yeah.
He took a selfie. And then he had Veer put Ali back in that hold again, took another selfie with that. And then they decided that wasn't good enough because the Miz was going, hey, hey, hey. And the Miz goes around and they take another selfie with the Miz, Mustafa Ali in that hold, Veer, and Theory. Another one that made me laugh out loud, because what great storytelling that was. I mean, it was off the wall. It was physical. It told a great story. And, I mean, hats off. Whoever came up with that idea, whoever booked it, fantastic. And that's somebody who really criticizes WWE quite a bit. But this past Monday Night Raw was pretty good, despite what apparently happened. Why don't you fill us in what you know so far about what happened at WWE?
Well, from what I understand that Sasha Banks and what was her partner's name?
Naomi
had come to the arena to do Monday Night Raw, and the production and management says, well, we don't know what to do with you. Okay, so they took the belts, they laid them on the table of the production, and they walked out.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this: is it a work? Is it true? Can it? And let's be honest, the women's tag division sucks. How many times have they been on pay-per-view for defending their titles?
Yeah.
How many people probably knew that those two were the tag team champions? I think they're finally, Naomi and Sasha are finally tired of the bull crap with the WWE. Your thoughts?
What they had been advertising was a six-woman gauntlet match to determine the top contender for Bianca's title. And, you know, the internet, and, you know, once again, if it's on the internet, you got to believe it. Bonjour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but most of the reports are now saying that Sasha Banks and Naomi came in not knowing that the gauntlet match and how it was going to be. And evidently Naomi was going to win the gauntlet match by, and once again, internet reports, gauntlet match with Naomi pinning Sasha Banks. And then it was going to be maybe not a feud between the two of them, but then nothing with the title until like Hell in the Cell or later in the summer. And the two reportedly didn't like that angle because they thought
it
was
for me, brother.
Yeah, it doesn't work. And I'm really torn on this because I agree with you, Chris. Is it a work? I don't think it is, but it could be. But also, as an employer employee, you know, if you are an employee, then you need to do what the boss asks you to do.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they are also, you know, they're not employees of they're independent contractors, according to Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But they're under, I don't understand the legalities of this. I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio. But, you know, there's going to be somehow, if this is not a work, there's going to be some behind the scenes stuff. It's going to be interesting on Friday Night Raw, SmackDown, to find out how they approach the story. Now, I'm just going to kind of go back a little bit because I've been doing some research on this. evidently they went on the air on Monday Night Raw, and I was watching this, and they were advertising the fact they were going to have the gauntlet match.
Yes.
Rumors saying that Vince McMahon was in the gorilla position backstage, and that somebody came up to him right after the opening segment was started on Raw and told him that Sasha Banks and Naomi had taken their belts and put it on the desk of John Laurinaitis and walked out.
Yeah.
And then it was pitched to him to do a segment with Becky and Adam Pearce talking about what had happened. And if it was done at the last minute, hats off to Becky Lynch. She did a wonderful job. I mean, if it's not a work, it was spectacular. You know, taking a situation and ad-libbing through something like that is very, very difficult. And I've been in a situation where I've had to ad-lib everything. So my hat's off to Becky. So that they decided to have the one-on-one match between Asuka and Becky Lynch, and then Asuka wins that, and she is now the number one contender. But once again, there's probably a small portion of fans and people that follow professional wrestling think this could be a work. And I'm one of that thinking it could be a work, but I doubt it. Where are you on that?
Let's face it. The tag team titles for the women is just a joke. They don't ever do anything with them. You barely knew who had the titles. So if it's a work, it's going to be good. But if it's not, I don't blame the two girls, because Sasha Banks is turning into another. I'm going to start calling her Sasha Hogan. That doesn't work for me, brother. But I mean, I don't blame them. They're independent contractors. They can do what they need to do. If they don't like what they see, take their ball and go home.
Yeah. Stone Cold has done it in the past. You know, but he did it with a match with Brock Lesnar. But Stone Cold, in his podcast and his show that's on Peacock now on the network, he says he was wrong in doing it. It was unprofessional. Yep. And that's the one thing that I think, if they did it, I'm not sure how professional that is. But once again, somebody, when you feel disrespected and you feel like you're being wronged, you know, you have that opportunity to say, I don't want to do this anymore. And if that's what Sasha Banks and Naomi says, I don't want to do this for this company, they have every right to do it. I've done that myself in my career twice, where I thought things were not right. And once I was accused of something I did not do, and they kept on accusing me. I said, well, you know what? Don't call me a liar. And I walked out. And probably the best decision of my life, to be honest with you. But you know, when you're an employer and you're being paid for something, you know, there's something about taking pride in yourself and your work. Maybe it could have been handled better. Do the show, do it the way it was supposed to do. And then say, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. We got to talk. Instead of just walking out. Maybe that would have been the better way to go.
Well, just walking out of the job like that, I just don't see that. That's not going to turn out good for them. And it's going to make the waters murky again for the WWE. Because, I mean, let's face it, wrestling is not... It's popular now, and people are loving what they're seeing, but everybody is just like blah with the WWE. There's nothing really to excite them that much. And this right here is just, it's rumor and controversy. We don't know. We weren't there. We don't know what happened. But we'll find out. Maybe they make a good story out of it.
Yeah, you know, and that could happen. You know, everything that happened Monday night could have been, say, wow, this happened, and it was not a work. This was real life. You know, it was a shoot. but they get things worked out, and then they write a storyline to go into that. It's called real life, and wrestling has done that for years, included real life situations into storylines. And I'm really looking interested in seeing what's going to happen on SmackDown with that, and we'll talk more about that as we progress. But you mentioned something also, talking about the backstage. And that kind of leads into something else I know you wanted to talk about, was reports of AEW and dissent backstage. Let's talk about that.
Well, they're saying that AEW is having a problem with their backstage on their with the wrestlers. A lot of people are getting very upset. Let's just face it. Their roster is so big, they don't have time for every wrestler to have a segment. And I guess that they're getting ticked off about, you know, they're being put in dark matches. They're not being paid as well as others. And I don't really know that the scent of it. But what I do know is there's a lot of wrestlers that are very unhappy, like MJF. He's ready to jump ship. He doesn't want to be there anymore. But if they're having a problem and MJF is the one that wants to jump first, then there's got to be some kind of person in the back of the locker room that's causing a problem. So who could it be?
MJF.
You think it is all the way MJF?
No, I'm saying that you made the point of the roster on AEW being so large, and it is.
Yeah.
It's probably too large. They need to probably say, we're going to have AEW, but we're also going to run Ring of Honor and go that way and split the roster a little bit. And I'm sure they've had talks about that. But is backstage dissension, maybe it could be bad, but could it be a good thing? And I'm approaching this, Chris, as a performer and the performer's attitude about how they are perceived, not necessarily money-wise and job-wise, but how they are perceived by the fans. And because there's a thing called ego in just about any business, especially if you're a performer. And I'm not so sure. Yeah, a lot of egos. And I do this other podcast where I talk about my radio career and I talk to other radio announcers. And several times during that podcast, Radio Guy Reflections, and I'll just do a little plug here. It's on many of the same podcasts, and it's very interesting. Talk to a lot of great radio people. But anyway, we talk about the different personalities that are involved in performing on the radio. And I think anytime you are working with people who are performers, there are egos. And even down to jobs, individual jobs, whatever you do, if you're digging a ditch, you know, there's probably people you don't get along with or people you don't particularly like. You don't like your boss. And I'm not so sure that some dissension is not a good thing because it pushes you to be better at what you do a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get too much and you get that workplace that is just where you just hate going all the time, you just hate going to work. That's what I worry about.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, we don't know who the cancer is in the locker room. We have no idea. I've got my suspicions. I mean, the ones that like to, well, I'm the superstar here. I'm the one that is running the show. But there's way too many egos there. And one of them is MJF. Yeah, he is one of the best in the business. But if he wants to go to the WWE, okay, fine. Want your career to go rock bottom? Go for it. But and one of them I could say maybe it could be it. It could be CM Punk. It could be Eddie Kingston. We don't know. But they are having a lot of problems with their backstage. And we all knew this was going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
Something was going to happen to AEW. They're going to stub their toe, like you said, a long time ago. They're going to stub their toe, and then the castle will start crumbling piece by piece. And this is the one piece that's starting, is they're having dissensions within the ranks.
Yeah.
So are they going to have to start cutting their roster tremendously? Because let's face it, Big Show doesn't do anything. Mark Henry doesn't do anything. Taz is an announcer.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on backstage? We don't know. And this is all hearsay.
Yeah, you know, and that could be. But you make a good point about the roster size and then the way they've had to do it. Now, Tim Young, we talked about this on the previous podcast. And if you haven't listened to that, you really need to. We talk about how they've brought in new wrestlers, and because they have limited space and limited TV time, they've had to put them in factions. How many factions are in AEW? You got faction this, you got the, you got the Dark Order, you've got Death Triangle, you've got the Pinnacle. You've got the Jericho Appreciation Society, which I love, by the way.
There's too many.
Yeah.
There are too many factions, and they're also, the fans are not going to put up with this much longer. They're not. It's going to be the same storylines all the time, and like we said before, we don't know what's going on in the back, and I think Tony Khan needs to sit down and say, okay, I got to start cutting people. So where do I start?
Yeah. Yeah, and there have been some of the, you know, Joey Janela is no longer there, which, hallelujah, you know, I never liked that dude.
I couldn't stand him.
But, yeah, you make a good point, because sometimes I think they've overgrown and overexpanded a little bit at this point. But when you get so many factions, I think it waters down the product. I mean, you know, the faction with Malakai Black, great faction. I love the storyline, but it's being lost because there's so many other storylines going on with different factions. And it just reminded me when the NWO was so prevalent, and then they went the NWO Wolfpack, NWO Red, the Latino NWO. They had the NWO in Japan. And the Bullet Club did the same thing. It waters down the product. And I think they're at that point right now that they're watering down the product. They need to kind of refocus just a little bit and say, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. We just don't have work for you at this time. Go to the independents. Go back to Impact. Go to NWA. We'll help you out as much as we can. You know, we'll use you occasionally to help tide you over. Whatever that is, you know, they're the money people, they're the business people. But when you have too much, it can really water down the product, you know. So I hope they can get it working pretty good.
Well, I hope they do too, but their factions that they have is just way too much. And maybe they do need to say, okay, you need more training. You need to go back and learn how to talk. Something like that. Let's go take you back to the indies and where you can get some mic time or do something else, because what you're doing now is not working.
Yeah.
And we just don't have the room for you. We don't have the roster for you. And let's try in a couple of months. Maybe we can find something. But who knows? Tony's the one that is cashing the is writing the checks, and they're the guys that are cashing them. So we'll see what goes on there.
But yeah, sometimes you got to think about money, you know. You got to think about, you know, hey, I'm getting a paycheck, and I love what I do. I might not be a star right now, but hopefully they'll work me into it. And that's the one thing AEW has done fairly well with some of these factions. They might write them off TV for just a little bit, you know, maybe a month, and then bring them back and let them have a little bit of the spotlight, and then somebody else is gone for a while. And I'll go back to, you know, to the Death Triangle. You know, they've come and gone. Same way with Malakai Black's group. They've come and gone, and then somewhat to the Dark Order. Of course, they had the tragedy with the death of Brody Lee in there, but you know, and then they bring up some people maybe from Dark and let them wrestle for a couple of weeks. And right now they just started that new faction with the Gun Club and the Rappers, the Acclaim.
Oh yeah.
But they've done that fairly well. But now they're to that point where you need somebody like the Death Triangle, because I really like that group, or the group with William Regal. You need them to shine. You need them to be dominant for a while. And you can't do that with so many groups. You can't. It waters down. You know, who's going to be afraid of the Death Triangle if you don't see them for 6 months? You know, you're just not going to. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I enjoy William Regal and Moxley and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But let's just hope that they can get their stuff together and they can figure this out for their wrestlers, because right now there's not a lot, there's a lot of places to go to for wrestling. Independents exactly. are taking, like Eric Young is going to DCW.
Ain't that, well, he's going to make an appearance there, and I love that. I love EY. I mean, he's been one of my wrestling, I've been a fan of his, and knowing that I don't think he's been used to the potential he could be used. And I'm excited for Devotion Championship Wrestling to have somebody that I have such great respect for as a performer, and Eric Young. Man, good stuff.
Yeah, I can't believe it. When I saw that Eric Young was going to DCW for an appearance, I'm like, okay, DCW has taken off like a bottle rocket. I mean, it's amazing that they are becoming like the must-go-to place for the indie circuit. It's amazing. Swag Wrestling in Henry County. If you want to watch something stupid, go watch that. Because those boys, I'm sorry. I tried to get them on the podcast and trying to help them out in Henry County. And talking to him is like talking to a brick wall.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't want to listen. He didn't. I said, look, I'm trying to help you to get your product out. And he's brought in some people from, you know, that had a good career, like Tommy Rich. He's brought in Tommy Rich. That's great. And he's brought in Bill Dundee. But after Bill watched one show, Bill walked out. That's what I heard from his little thing on his Facebook. It was like, I don't want to be a part of that. That's not what I want. But guys, the independent circuit is taking off like wildfire.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. I mean, we've got one down here in Salisbury. Like every Saturday, they put on a show. I haven't seen it yet because it was in a. The only part I don't like about it, it was in a Nissan dealership parking lot, and they had maybe like six people there, and I said, no, I'll decide to keep my butt away. But you never know. I mean, you got to get yourself started somewhere. Right. That's how everybody does it. But I know we have new tag team champions in Impact.
Yeah, the Briscoes, right?
The Briscoes, them boys went in and got them.
Yeah.
I mean, now I'm very happy for the Briscoes. They finally got another set of tag team titles. But I'm just hoping and praying that they'll pull the trigger and go somewhere and stay there.
Yeah.
But heck, they're at the NWA, they're at Impact, they're Ring of Honor, they're MCW. They're going everywhere. And they're more popular than any of the major tag teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they have that political history that makes it so hard to go to one of the major, the ones that have, you know, they have to worry about advertising dollars so much.
And let's face it, those two on the mic, they don't have no filter.
No.
Neither one of them does. Mark Briscoe and Jay. Mark Briscoe is nothing to look at the camera. That man is twice as ugly as a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Briscoe, Jay doesn't know. He doesn't have a filter. He says what comes out of his mouth. And I'm surprised they haven't bleeped them out as much as possible. But you know what? Though they are exceptional. They're an exceptional tag team. They're good on the mics. And they're fun to watch. And they have some knockdown, drag-out fights.
Yeah, you know, you and I are both fans of the Briscoes and them boys, but you said something about bleeping them out.
Yep.
And I am going to put in here something that happened on NXT 2.0, which I hate calling it that, but NXT 2.0 in one of their matches. Oh, it was so funny. There was a point in the match where I can't remember what even happened now, but Wade Barrett and the other announcer, I think it's Tom Phillips maybe, they left the table because there was going to be action going on there. And the wrestler threw the other wrestler out of the ring and landed on the table where the broadcast was supposed to be. Well, there's no talking going on, right? No talking. There's no announcers. Just all you hear is the crowd noise. So for, I would say, at least 5 seconds, if not more, all you heard was, holy, then they blanked them out. Holy, blanked them out. And I'm going to play this right here. Listen for how they edited the holy, and this was on NXT 2.0 this week. That made me laugh so much, Chris, because, you know, I try not to, in this podcast, say certain words, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that is more locker room talk and when you're just, you know, with your buds and all that. And I don't want to have a family, maybe a mom and dad or a dad and his son, listening to this and hearing you and I and Zane saying certain words, and then the father having to look at son, but son, we usually don't say that, and I don't want you using that kind of language. I want them to be able to make that decision, you know, themselves instead of hearing it from my mouth. Other podcasts do it, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but, you know, that's just me, and we talked about that before we started doing this podcast, that we were going to kind of tone down that language a little bit. That's why on the Tim Young podcast, we did use some of that language, but I marked it and even put it in the description that it was not necessarily safe for work. So, but you know, the censorship, you know, the people that were on the button, it just absolutely floored me that because it was so obvious, and then there was no announcers to break it up. Oh, anyway, that's just me.
Holy bleep!
So, anyway, I have a strange sense of humor. But, Chris, also, we want to talk about Rekha Tahaka. She's, you know, wrestling with the United Wrestling Network. Saw her on one of their major TV shows. Used to be called Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Now it's United Wrestling Network. She's one of their big female stars right now. Manny Lemons, who's been doing stuff on Impact and other wrestling around the country, doing great. You know, the guys from DCW are one of those little groups now that you're going to start seeing more and more people either coming through DCW, like, you know, the Uso brother that's now Sokoa, that's on NXT 2.0, that's a big star. He was the first DCW champion. That's why we always say to people, try to find out more about the indies. You never know who you're going to see go through. And it's just a lot of fun. Anything else, my friend?
Well, not really. I mean, I've been watching, keeping up with, you know, Triple H's health, the way he's been going, and I've been keeping up with a little bit of WWE as much as I can, NWA, and I just keep up with all the controversies as much as possible. But other than that, guys, just keep watching everything. Go to an indie show, support these people, support the wrestlers. If you know, if you like what you see, I mean, keep watching these guys. They're there for our entertainment, and they're there to make their money. So come on, go out there to DCW in Utah and have fun. Go watch these guys. These guys put their lives on the line, and Manny Lemons has put on a heck of a show. And so But I'm kind of wondering who the slasher guy is. It kind of reminds me of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Who was it? He's got the mask of what was his name?
Oh, I've seen it. I don't know.
I can't remember.
He's a new character in DCW. But Chris, you know, you say going to Independence, and then you didn't go to the Nissan dealership. Come on.
No.
Go to the Nissan dealership. Come on.
The next time I see one, I'm going to go, and I'm going to see if I can get some interviews going there. And, you know, just go up to these guys and see it. I really wanted to, but, you know, it's kind of funny how they try to do this, and that they have a ring. As long as they don't do like they did in Arkansas and have a wrestling ring in a Walmart.
Why not? You remember the story I've told a few times about being in a Quonset hut with a little independent, and they had the guy that at least was 500 pounds and another guy was at least, you know, 300, and they tied up and went to the corner and the ring collapsed. You know, that's the kind of thing you can't buy. You know, those experiences are great. But overall, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on in professional wrestling. I wanted to talk to you about one more thing before I let you go.
Yep.
I know you are a big fan of Jim Cornette, and I am not. I think he's brilliant. I think he's funny. I really do. I think he's got a great mind for wrestling. But I'm also thinking that he doesn't understand that wrestling changes, and he hasn't decided that. Yeah, we can't do the same thing we were doing back in the 80s, but that's okay. Nope. Jim, you know what? That's okay. You have sent me a lot of stuff from the Cult of Cornette.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I decided to join their Facebook group. It lasted about 1 week.
I don't blame you.
That group is absolutely the most negative, ignorant people that could be. They come up with scenarios. They come up with things that mean nothing. I mean, I couldn't take it anymore. I just said, that's enough. I'm getting mad every time I would see something on Facebook from the Cult of Cornette. I was going, you know, is this guy, you know, living in a van down by the river eating government cheese? It was awful.
To be honest with you, I don't really think that's really Jim's, you know, Facebook page.
I agree.
It's somebody that's made it up. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah, more than likely.
And it's all, look, I put up with the Facebook page. I really do. Some of it's funny. Some of it's stupid. It's a lot. Some of it's a lot of left-wing crap. But, I mean, I listen to Jim all the time, and there's some things I agree with him, and there's some things I don't.
Me too. But I will give him that.
But Jim is lost back in the 80s. He still thinks that wrestling should be done like it was done in the 70s and 80s. It doesn't work like that anymore. That's in the past. But like someone said a long time ago, old storylines will never get old. Storylines can always be brought back.
Yeah, so, they can be brought back, and you can also tweak them to make them more modern. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
But the way that he brings things up, I can understand your frustrations with that, because he gets mad about the littlest, stupidest things. But you know what, Jim? That's why you don't have Smoky Mountain Wrestling anymore. That's why you're not a manager anymore. And that's why you're doing your podcast, because a lot of people just don't put up with stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And Vince Russo, who is, you know, he and Jim Cornette hate each other, you know, to no end. But Vince Russo is getting more press, I guess you could say, because he's, you know, getting back into the podcasting thing and making his opinions known. And I have no problem with someone expressing their opinion. No problem. But don't expect me to agree with you. And if I don't agree with you, don't go around calling me every name in the book. Just say, you know what? I don't agree, and here's the reason why. And if you don't agree, we can still be friends. You know, I hate this. and I've said this many times, that's one of the things that social media has done to our world. It's made us more unkind, and it should be something that makes us get together a little bit more. I that's the one thing that I cannot stand about social media. It's dividing us right now. And when social media works is when people find that common ground, their friends, and they can say, you know what, I don't agree with you, but that's okay, because we all have our opinions. We all have our beliefs. We've all been brought up differently. We have different life experiences, and you know, just kind of respect each other.
Yeah,
but that's just me, and I've said that a million times, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. Animal abuse. I can't say that. Somebody will call me on the carpet for animal abuse now. So we can't beat a dead dust bunny. Okay, it's a dust bunny from now on. Frustrated.
There we go.
I'm frustrated. Can you tell?
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, anyway, it's all good. Anyway, Chris, final word from you?
Like I said, just I hope everybody's in good health, and I'm glad to be back on the podcast again. It's been a while, and hopefully Zane will be able to do it. We'll have a three-way again, and we can get down and start talking about more wrestling. And if y'all have any place around that has wrestling, go see it. If you have anything you want to put onto the Facebook page, please do.
Yeah.
And we need to welcome our newest members that are in. Thank you for joining.
Yeah, and thank you very much. And happy birthday to you on May the 20th. And, of course, happy birthday to me on May the 30th. You know. And if you want to send presents, you can do that. Monetary is – no, you don't have to do that. But, yeah, it's my birth month.
A triple In-N-Out burger with no cheese.
That's right. And we're getting one. We're getting one here in Logan. It's just ready to open anytime now. So, but Chris, it's been a pleasure once again. I've known you since you were born, and you know that. And we are relatives. And Zane is not a relative, but he's like a brother, isn't he?
Oh yes, very much. And we love for Zane to be on the podcast, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again.
Okay. You have yourself a good birthday, and we'll talk to you again as we have more coming up on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Who knows? When it comes to us, employees of their independent contractor, according to Vince McMahon.
You need to go back and learn how to talk.
Is this guy, you know, living in a van down by the river eating government cheese?
I'm the superstar here. I'm the one. Running the show.
Who knows when it comes to us?
Woo!
Talking to him is like talking to a brick wall. That man is quite as ugly as a Bigfoot.
Coming in three. Coming in three, two, one. And I don't want to be a good horse. The animal abuse, I can't say. Somebody will call me on the carpet for animal abuse now.
No, I'll be back.